Welcome to Endgame Chat for November 14th, 2008, the official podcast of ColonyOfGamers.com. The whole crew's in here tonight, Jeremy, James, Daniel, Dana, and myself, Scott. And, of course, since last we spoke, Lich King's released. Jeremy has played End War. Me and James got to look at the NXE again. I got to install a game and check out...
How long did it take? Well.
6 minutes for Burnout Paradise. It took six
Do
minutes.
You have any idea what size the install was?
It was... 5 gigs, I believe. 6 gigs, maybe.
That's not too bad.
That's pretty fucking fast, actually.
Yeah, it went. I was actually.
All right, so that's not. Yeah, far from not bad. That's actually very fast.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's not. I don't know.
I'm a little surprised at that. I think you're lying.
Yeah, I think you made that shit up.
I'm not. I think you do.
Here, hang on. This is something they won't be able to see, but I actually got out my iPhone. Whenever I started it up.
Oh, you know, should break out the timer.
I hit the stopwatch on it, and there you go.
551.3. Well, I'm just saying some aspect of what you're
Dude,
doing.
Dude, you hacked your iPhone or something. Something's going on.
No, I totally believed he timed it. I just don't think it was that big now. So, I don't know. I think you're lying about
it. Maybe it was four. I don't know. But
no, even at four, that's pretty damn quick.
The one thing I will say, just in the few minutes I got a chance to see it yesterday, was that... for me, the first most interesting change about the system... is how much it exposes more information about everything on the system. How much more information is available about everything happening on your Xbox.
Yeah.
Like it's in a really like pretty sleek package, but like for every game it's a little easier to access like everything you'd like to know about it. There's just more information panels available for
everything.
When
you look at
everything.
A game, when you open up a game, let's start with the game that's in your drive, that's in your disk drive.
Mm-hmm.
You can highlight that and hit A, and it'll just immediately jump in. You can start playing. If you hit Y, the little card flips over and then expands out, and so you have things you can look at. You can play right now, install to hard drive, and then if you move over to the next page... you get to see the achievements that you've accomplished so far and all the other achievements that are there. You can scroll through and see that.
Without having to dig through, like,
right.
some other menu not related to that game on some other blade or in some other pane that has nothing to do with that game. Everything relevant to that game, whether it's...
And even then, because you go over to the next page and it's, here's what's available to download for this.
Yeah.
You know, here's its marketplace home, basically.
That's pretty great. That may be my favorite thing.
Well, it's
like,
not a,
if you ever want to check and see if there's some DLC out for your game, like it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it is, and it doesn't preclude you from doing it the other way, like from accessing the game.
You can still go like browse the market, just generally.
But it gives you another way of looking at all the information that's there, and even this, even just the stupid stuff, which is like the excerpt about what the game is about, like the two paragraphs describing what the game is available somewhere. And I can't ever remember if that information was at all available.
It was only available for, like, when you were at its marketplace home and you had something highlighted. Like a demo, like whenever you download a demo.
No, yeah, I understand that, but I'm talking about, like, the disc, the actual physical disc.
Well, no, even further, I looked even further. The very last thing is the box art, and under that, is all the information on the back of that box art.
Oh, like the co-op multiplayer, like all that jazz?
All that shit.
Holy fuck.
It's just, like I said, it's just more exposed. It's everything is laid there.
And it's there for every single game, even games you don't own.
That's what I was about to ask.
Yes.
Like, that is fucking excellent.
Yeah, it's
like,
really,
if I want to know if a game's co-op and I'm sitting there on my Xbox, so I can go fucking look it up.
If there's a page for that game somewhere, yes. Like, if you go to a download section.
Yeah. That's really nice.
That's glorious.
Or if that stuff's been released, obviously, if that information's been out. So... yeah, that's all there.
That's great.
It seemed it was a lot faster, like in general, accessing friends lists, messages, and all this other stuff. But you know,
the situation with this has happened every time they've done a major update.
Yeah,
when they used to do their spring and fall update, every time we would get close to that update, we'd all be like, can't wait for this update, because, God, it takes forever for my friends page to load, or God, it takes forever to see the arcade games or whatever I've downloaded. Because, you know, you click on it, and then you just have to sit there and wait for that shit to pile up. But every time they would refresh that and give us our spring and our fall update...
everything was nice and fast.
Shit was real fast. But by the time it got back around to it, it was going slow again. And it's going slow now. But in currently, right now, it's very, very
and
fast.
And the NXT is still in early release. It's not in wide release.
Yeah.
It's Monday is the live release, isn't it?
No, 17th? Wednesday. 19th.
19th? Why not? I think so.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know if that's legitimate. It's not a fair comparison to even say, well, it's the NXT is so much faster because it's like such a small percentage of people are actually playing with it right now.
Why would you? Whatever.
Why what?
I was just thinking like Monday. Maybe I thought Monday because Monday makes more sense to me. Like not the day after new games come out.
I don't know. I think it's.
I mean, I guess
I've always wondered why.
What's releasing next week? I don't think there are any huge.
They like Wednesday though.
Hitters other than Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead and Tomb Raider.
Left 4 Dead. It's. I mean, it's a big game, but it's not like you're gonna. I don't see it bringing down live. So.
No, I wouldn't even look at it from that point of view. They just honestly, and I don't know what determines this sort of stuff, but they like Wednesdays. They like to release software on Wednesdays.
An arcade game will be released. Yeah, I think what is that? Kingdom of Keflings or whatever that thing.
Yes,
is called.
God. I don't even know what it's about, but I want it because it's co-op, and I think there's building involved.
Well, your avatars are in it, and of course you can build your avatar.
Your avatar's in it, and then you have like they call them peons, but I'm pretty sure they're slaves because I don't think you pay them. So like you have these little dudes, your little serfs, like the serfs are like whatever
indentured servants.
Yeah, exactly. Like let's not glorify the Middle Ages here. Serfs are slaves. Like and I don't know what else you'd have them for other than building stuff and farming. So I'm pretty stoked about it. I'll probably buy it solely on premise.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Solely on premise of like I get to walk around as a big dude and tell those tiny dudes to do shit.
Right.
So I'm pretty stoked. It's probably going to suck, but you know, whatever.
The friends list is visualized rather than a list. It's a
what?
It's a visualization of your friends list.
What? What does that even mean?
It means that you've got your stupid little
avatar.
Dumb thing that you make about yourself. Which is stupid and little and dumb. I don't care what anybody says. Like, it's cute, which means it's kind of dumb.
Stupid little dumb thing, yeah.
And then, like, so everybody else on your friends list...
You get to see that little dumb thing.
They have a stupid little dumb thing as well. And, like, and it's sitting in front of something, depending on whatever kind of... it's like, you know, it's what you'd expect from all the different pictures. It's, like, just this thing where there's, like, a tiny little scene and, like... There's the guy, and then, like, if you want to move to the next person on your friends list, it just sort of moves over one by one, and they're either,
the box art of the game you're playing is right next to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or,
so I know immediately
what
you're playing.
It's
if
it's
you couldn't read, you could still figure out what they're playing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty big.
I mean,
yeah.
Because,
like, now I can see what all my friends are playing already, because I can read.
Well, it's a cute thing. I didn't see anything more useful... In that, as a matter of fact, I think it may have been slightly less useful, but that...
Can you turn it off?
I don't... Well, you can access... I think you can access the list in
just
a different way.
Different ways of accessing.
But
gotcha.
They obviously want you to look at it through the cute interface. But it was at least the way you were looking at it, and I didn't have the wherewithal to ask you if it was a sorting option. But, like, you were zipping through all your dudes, and, like... I think that they weren't necessarily in order of who's online.
They work just like your friends list works now, alphabetical order, starting with the people online first.
I'm not sure. Yeah, it just didn't look. I wanted to say that I saw some stuff that didn't quite look right in the way that was represented. Like that there were some offline people ahead of online people or something like that. But it was tough to tell because anybody who doesn't have the NXE, which represents probably like a lot of his friends list, based on what we were looking at, has a blacked out avatar. So,
yeah, people in parties show up first, which you didn't see that. But if there's a group of your friends list in a party, they're going to be first in line. All three of their avatars for ever how many are in that party.
With party hats?
They're going to be there. No, not party hats.
That's hardly fucking surprising.
They're hats, because you can put hats on your...
Giving out weird everything. Well, it's not like that would be weird.
That's why.
No, party hats. That would be strange. All of our stupid cartoon avatars are sitting around...
Party hats.
Nodding off and like... dancing and like making faces, but party hats would be strange.
They do the work.
Well, that's that's why they didn't want to do the party
hats.
They
burp.
They don't want to they don't want to override your hat choice.
I suppose.
Like they don't want to infringe on your freedom of hat choices,
I guess. Yeah, no, they don't want to infringe on your freedom to purchase hat choices.
No, shit.
Yeah.
I showed him the avatar builder whatever it was and I was like, "Here's where they're going to put their money cuz somebody's going to want a gear shirt, and they're going to have to buy it."
Yeah. Oh, of course. Know? Like, and man...
Or they want the Mirror's Edge insignia.
You know shirt, they're going to slap... Oh, that's a pretty cool idea. I wouldn't buy it, but that
and
would...
It's a yay.
I really do like the Mirror's Edge, the little thing, the little icon. I really do like it. It's a really good design thing. It makes me happy every time I see it, because it's like spray-painted around...
A dead space.
Around the levels. And so I'm like, I like that thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about.
If I was a games tattoo kind of person, I would get the Mirror's Edge symbol. But I'm not a games tattoo person.
On your
so
eye?
I do it. Not on my eye. No, I wouldn't quite go that hardcore. I wouldn't quite do the faith eye tattoo. I think the military would get a little angry.
Probably.
Oh yeah.
Hey. By a little angry, I mean I would be in deep shit.
Don't tell.
I don't think that works for tattoos.
No, it really doesn't.
I don't think that's how that works.
It's not what they meant.
No, not at all. So.
I like the interface of it, I guess. I don't really like the avatar
thing.
You don't
like the cutesy avatar
thing. It's just, it's like, it doesn't, from what I could see, and I didn't get to see a whole lot, but from the 15
minutes,
like, you know, at the most that I had with it, I saw that it was very easy to access different levels of information about all of the things that you can already do on the 360. There were a lot of things that you can't do on the 360 that you can now do, all of which looked very, very cool. So I was able to see that. I was able to see the benefit of how they'd reorganized the blades, of how they'd exposed some of the information about like things that are available through the marketplace, the community ratings that'll be available
For the community games section.
Yeah.
Which is in there, is in the NXE right now. I don't believe it's in whatever's out there. Because when I came across it, I was like, why didn't I ever see this? It could very well be on your current system, I mean, buried deep
within all the shit they got. It's hard
but
to find.
But here, it's easy to find. And games, the games that were in this were games that we saw, well, at least one of them. But the type of games they did when they did the, was it the XNA?
Yeah.
Creators Club stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which so, I mean, cool. Stuff like that. It's all extremely cool. But then, and so, it's not like... It's not like I can't appreciate the avatars because I haven't had enough time with them. I was able to appreciate the other changes, and I like it all, and it's very slick, and it looks very pretty. And I'm not even saying the avatars are terrible. It's okay.
Like, I mean, for some people, that's cool. Like, whatever. I don't...
It didn't seem to clarify anything. And as far as user interfaces are concerned with any piece of technology, like the ergonomics of how I interact with the technology, I want clarity, simplicity, ease of movement, ease of use. Those are the things that I want. And I just didn't...
The tiny little guy does not add
No, it doesn't. So it's this extra thing, and it's like... Yeah. So all that information about friends and everything is presented in a different way, where I've gotten used to seeing name a friend, name they're playing.
Yeah.
Like, simple information.
There. That is still there. It's not gone. You hit your guide button, and what do you get? A miniaturized version of your blade system.
Sort of. It's drawn slightly differently, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the whole interface
How similar to that is... Have you seen the new Windows Live interface?
Only a couple of pictures.
I haven't seen much of that, yeah.
Okay, I was just curious, like, how they compare.
I was hearing it was a lot better design for the PC. You were able to actually use your mouse to, you know, click on things instead of having to press the correct
I used my mouse to click on things before the update, and I never had problems.
Well, I've heard from several people
I heard too. Like, a lot of people were like man, I hate not being able to click on my mouse, and I'm like, I'm doing it right now. Like, I don't know. Maybe there were just sweet spots. Like, yeah, wasn't mapped exactly to the button, and I just got lucky.
Well, they said there were certain areas of the interface where that just didn't work.
Okay. See, maybe that was it. Maybe I didn't bother getting there, but, like, I never had a problem with that. But, nonetheless, like, I was just curious how similar they made those interfaces, because I thought the one on the old Windows Live interface even was a better... I thought was, like, much slicker looking than the...
You're going to be the best one to tell us that, actually, because you've got that through Fallout 3.
Yeah, I've got the Fallout 3.
You'll be able to update that and look at the NXE. You're going to be able to tell
us. Yeah, I'll pull them both out.
I will say, for what it's worth, not to just poo-poo the avatars, just because it's like, yeah, whatever. But, you know, the only reasonable comparison is how does it line up against our current blade system, the current UI for the 360. And I hate the current UI for the 360.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I think it's terrible. I think it's improved over time, But I think it's terrible. I don't really like it. It's sort of... It gets a lot of simple stuff done, you know, because we've had complaints about how...
The Fisher Price of...
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, and then going over it on the PlayStation, it's like I really, really, really love the front end of the PlayStation. I hate their network design. Anytime I have to get into their store, anytime I have to do, like, account management stuff...
Penis.
It's been really, really bad. Again, also improving over time. But, so... There's always uneven comparisons between the two. But simply between the 360 interface we have now and what I've seen of the NXE, yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah. So I just hope that... I hope that it's fine and everybody has a minimum of issues when they upgrade, you know?
Yeah, I hope it goes smooth.
We've seen them absolutely screw the live network for weeks.
Especially with Left 4 Dead coming out next week. Like, I really don't want live to go down. I don't want it to poop all over itself and not be... I don't want it to be unstable for, like, the next, you know, week.
Yeah.
I'm not in the mood to put
It's been the
shit.
Case more often than not.
I know.
Yeah,
I know. It
really has. Mm-hmm. Well, because we had a lot of people, a whole bunch of people, you and,
yep. Me and Neil
Kevin
and
Neil.
All got 360s.
All got 360s at about the same time. Because, like, Scott and I had them, and it was like, no, seriously, like, a lot of the shit that we can't ever get to work on the PC, like... It's working just great. We're playing on the 360. It's working just great.
We were unfortunate enough to get it around the time of the spring update that year.
Oh, was it not this one, but the one before?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that was.
And it was like,
God, what came? There's something that came out right.
I don't know, but I remember it was weeks.
And it was.
There were several games that just didn't work very well for weeks and weeks and weeks.
We just couldn't play.
And it was really bad.
That was right when I got mine too.
Yeah, it was really bad timing. Hopefully. I'm just hoping that nothing bad happens here. So
well, it happened again last winter when they did their update.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad, but it did happen. Yeah, I don't know. Everybody will find out soon enough. It's not like this is some sort of premium service.
No, that's true.
It's a gateway to premium services, but...
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I mean, because, like, when you got your one theme and everybody's like, I'm standing in front of an Xbox. I'm standing in front of this thing that's, you know, made of blocks and is weird looking, you know, like all the little avatars. And then he changes it to, like, the night theme, and all of a sudden it's, like, you know, Sharks and Jets or whatever the hell it was.
Well, when you're a jet, you're a jet.
That's two episodes running that we've brought up
West Side Story. We're like, I don't even like West Side Story. That's a weird thing.
I really abhor it.
It's more of a way. You guarantee you they were looking at this, you know. It's like... We can change it, but how can we make money off of it?
Man, I've had the same damn Ace Combat 6 theme on my 360 for fucking God knows how long.
I can't tell you the theme. Like, I had some nasty-ass Batman theme. I was just on mine. And I meant to change it before I got the update and totally forgot. But when it finally popped up there, it looks so much better.
Does it?
It looks, for whatever reason, it just... Because...
Maybe I won't have to change mine.
Basically, the sky was my theme.
Okay. That's kind of cool.
But it looks...
I just really like having planes in the background.
Here's the other thing. It doesn't block your theme. You know how when you would buy a theme, it was all blocked.
Yeah, the UI.
You
overlaid.
Couldn't see shit.
Oh yeah, you could. Well, that's
was
yeah, that
it.
Was or the other way around. Like, you can't see shit going on in your UI because your theme's too fucking busy.
Or whenever you hit the guide button, the pattern that they selected for the blade
was hideous.
You couldn't even read your friends list.
Yeah.
So this gets that out of the way.
That's true. I guess in that sense, maybe, like that's the clarity. You know, that's the simplification. I mean, there's certainly nothing wrong with design reaching really, really far, you know, in an effort to be more usable. I think it's very clear, though. It isn't just like, hey, you have an avatar, now everybody will want to buy T-shirts for their avatar, and all of a sudden we're even more rich. I don't think it's quite like that. I think that, I mean, yeah, it is kind of like that, but it isn't... I think what they've done is they've changed the interface to something they want you to spend time in. You know, like you will want to spend time in your interface.
Well, it's more useful.
Yeah, and it's a lot easier on the eyes, actually, not just a little bit. It is more fun. So the interface isn't simply business-like, so you will want to... It's a little closer to a social interface now.
Well, I mean, I'm cool. Like, especially, like, you see all the information about the games being there, like... That's useful. Right now, if I'm playing a game and I'm talking to my buddy and I'm like, man, we should get a co-op game to play together.
Don't forget the party. So I was going to say, don't forget that
party. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're hanging out at a party, and, like, you know, we're like, hey, let's find it. Let's get a game to play together. Well, then I got to walk all the way over to my computer, get on game website X, Y, or Z, look up and try and, like, sort through all the shit and, like, find all the shit. And it's pain in the ass.
Co-optimus.com, maybe?
Well, obviously, if it was a co-op game specifically, then yes. But, you know, that's not...
I'm just giving you
shit. Yeah. Clearly, if it was a co-op game, I would go to co-optimus.com because it is their premier source for co-op gaming.
No, it's your prime source.
Oh, my prime source. Well, look.
He made that a point.
It's like, co-optimus prime,
I call it co-optimus, and then look at that. Your prime
source. I know, co-optimus prime. Yes, you're very, very clever, Bap. We all are in awe. Like,
oh, that's true, because we all wish we'd thought of it.
Yes, it is. Like, I'm not going to lie, it's great. But
yeah, enough sidestepping. I do get what you're saying.
Like,
yeah.
That's really awesome that I've got all that right there. It's just,
we tried the
party. It's smart, is what it is. It's like,
We did a couple of nights ago, and we played Left 4 Dead while we were doing it, and we had two problems. Either people were getting
Left 4 Dead was too hard?
No, we're fine with Left 4 Dead. Either people were getting kicked from the party, or they were getting kicked from Left 4 Dead.
Mm.
And it was very hard to juggle the two, because then you'd have to hit your guide button, go to their page, join party, join back in. Then you could talk, because everybody was using the party channel to do their chat.
Now that you mention that, when you and I and James and Becky were playing Left 4 Dead.
Don't forget that name.
For a second, I couldn't remember who else was playing. You were the one that was getting dropped.
Yeah, it's true.
And you were the one with
the
new interface.
No, I didn't have the interface.
You didn't have the interface yet? Okay. Well, good.
Mm-mm, didn't have the interface at that time.
I was starting to get a little worried about how my live was going to be in a few days.
Well, I'm curious how it's going to be.
I'm still a little worried, but...
Yeah. As I say, I think a little worried is a very rational state of being at the moment.
I like the party system, though, because it's like you guys can be on doing your thing. I can't remember if it was 8 people to a party or is it 6 or whatever. I know it's 4, maybe. I know it's at least 4, probably more than that, to a party.
I want to say 6, but I'm probably pulling that number out of my ass.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but you guys can be in there all playing your own game and still talking to each other. Obviously, that doesn't work for when you're playing a multiplayer game, because then you can't talk to the people who you're playing with. Like, if 3 members of your party are off doing something else, but you're playing Left 4 Dead, you want to be talking to your people you're playing Left 4 Dead with. So there's a little bit of a situation there, but if James is off playing Dead Space, you're playing, well, if you're playing End War.
If I'm playing End War, you guys don't want to have me in your party.
That's interesting. I wonder if it picks up your voice.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it wouldn't pick it up, would it?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Couldn't do that.
It's actually really annoying. You can't. Because what I was trying to do is, like, be in a chat with somebody playing another game while I was... And this was back when I was in the beta, so this may be different now. I haven't tried it in the demo or in the retail game, which I need to pick up at some point. But I couldn't... If I was in a chat with somebody, I couldn't use voice commands in End War.
Yeah, no.
So it may kill End War altogether. Like, in the voice chat thing, it may not even function. Because what they should have done is Pulling Right Sugar should have popped you out of that chat temporarily.
It should just toggle you between channels.
Yeah, but it didn't do that.
Huh. Or even say press the button.
Now, this was, like I said, this was a long time ago.
It was beta.
Hopefully that's something that they've addressed and fixed, because that was a very common issue that people voice was like I want to be able to talk to my friend while I'm playing this game. You know, fix that.
Yeah, I've seen you playing In War.
Yeah.
But I haven't.
That'd be an interesting thing to test and see how that
works. I don't know how I could carry on a conversation with anybody while playing End War.
Yeah.
So
it'd be very
I'm way too busy issuing orders. Almost always issuing orders.
Really? You don't ever find you? Oh, now here's your question. Now, because you've played a lot of this. And
you're not going to ask me the question now? You just got a better thought?
Yeah, I got a better one. Whatever I was about to
talk
say was not nearly
yourself.
as important as what just occurred to me. Do you find yourself playing the game nearly entirely from the sit rep screen?
No, I don't use it at all.
Okay.
Really?
Actually.
That was just me. I was curious. Like, because for me, you could have fucking got rid of everything else in that game and just had a sit rep screen.
Yeah.
Like, I just, sit rep. That was the first thing I did when I pulled the thing. Sit rep. And then I just sat there. Like, yeah. I, only if I was like, wanted to watch my dudes
the
fight
sit
dudes,
rep screen, for people that haven't played the game, being
is like
essentially
the big
overlay
overhead
of the entire battle. Like, a tactical, strategic overlay and of the battle. So everything being represented by icons and stuff like that. Very few actual.
The only time I used it was really was the point in the tutorial where they were explaining how it worked. And I was like, oh hey, yeah, this is pretty cool. But then like next battle, I'm like, no, I wanna you know do everything from the field.
Yeah,
and I've been doing it that way ever since.
And it's really interesting though, that they do give you those two equally viable options. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, neither one of them is necessarily like any better or worse. It's just I'm a OCD. I like to know where everything is at every time.
Enjoying the games?
I am really enjoying the game, and I didn't think I would.
I was surprised to hear when you were telling us that earlier. I was very surprised to hear that you were really liking
it's,
the game.
I'm not surprised.
It's clear that like they've made a tactical game geared towards, at least at the normal difficulty, people who aren't that familiar with tactical games, because I'm not. Mm-hmm. I enjoy them. I enjoy the idea of them, and I've tried to play them, but they've always been for that audience and way out of my league. So, and I noticed when starting in War, the difficulty level it started on was for people who were familiar with, you know, those types of games, and this one step down was normal. Like if you're not familiar with tactics at all, I was like, okay, that's what I want. And I felt like the tutorial campaign, they have an entire campaign that's a tutorial, did a really good job of teaching me how to play the game and how to use the different units effectively. And once I got out of that, and it just transitioned right into the main story campaign, almost without me noticing, I thought I had a pretty good grasp on it. And it's the learning curve has been maybe, it could have been a little bit steeper. I think they made it a little bit more flat than it could have been, but I've really enjoyed it so far. I got a long way to go. It's not the sort of thing I would buy, but I'm really really glad I put it in my GameFly because I had a lot of fun with it. And I intend to play it all the way through.
Have you sent it back already?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'll probably send it back when Mirror's Edge gets here. But I can see checking it out again to finish it up if I'm not done with it. You know, by then.
Does it present you three separate campaigns, or is it one giant overarching story? Like, does it present you one for each of the major factions?
When I finished the tutorial campaign, it asked me, what faction do you want to play as?
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So I imagine if you just start off picking the World War III campaign, which is the other you have to choose from, that it asks you at that point which side you want to play as.
Okay, cool. And so then, you can go through and play as the other one when you're done with the first one. Wait, who did you pick?
The U.S.,
Rods from God, man. That's all you got to say. Like, I think they have the coolest WMD. Anything that giant tungsten rods from space. Like, and that's your WMD. Like, it's pure kinetic force. We're dropping large things of metal from space on you. You don't beat that.
No, it's very effective.
That's why I played them in the beta. I was like, man, like that's too cool. Like, you have to pick them.
And of course, I've been really impressed with the voice commands. Very rarely misunderstands what I say, and it's usually my fault if it does.
And you can talk
the
pretty fast.
Thing.
It's not like you have to spoon feed it.
Yeah, it seems to prefer you talking fast.
Yeah, you can
actually
just rattle those off, and it works just fine.
I really enjoy I can't play it from my couch. I get too into it. I have to like scoot into the middle of the room on the ottoman.
Nice.
And I like to, you know, it feels really good to sit there and issue all these orders to all these units, and they go out there and do all the stuff. And
you know, for added effect, you should
feel like I've accomplished.
For added effect, you should get a cigar and pace around the room while you issue these orders.
I feel like I should.
Yeah,
like
you should just make that cigar.
Yeah.
Pace around the room.
The unfortunate thing, though, is because I spend so much time yelling at the TV, it's the one game I have played since, you know. Well, in the past, how long have we been together now? 3 years? That Becky, like, couldn't be in the same room with me. She has to, like, go back in the bedroom and read a book or something. So.
Because you're yelling constantly at the TV.
I know.
Yeah, I understand.
So.
wait. You're yelling at the TV more than Mega Man?
Oh, yeah. but not because I'm pissed off.
Yeah, it's a different kind of yelling.
It's kind of required to.
Yeah, it's a different kind of yelling. Son of a bitch!
So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you like it. Glad you do. You picked up Lich King last night. How many people were at the local store?
A lot at 8 o'clock.
But yeah, you went by there to pay it all off first, yeah.
Well, yeah, they handle the pre-orders really well. I like the way that they handle them. It makes it very easy to get your game and just go when you get it. But, I don't know, 50, 60 people, you know? But, I mean, with as many places as there is to buy it, you know, that represents a significant number of people. I gotta... Obviously, like, to some degree, these are my people, you know? Because we're all playing the same game. Like, whatever. There's a lot of us, but we're all more or less in it together. And I really don't like being around them in person. Like, I really don't. I really don't like them in the game. I, for the most part, really hate the people who play World of Warcraft. I know that there are a lot of great people who do, but it's very difficult to come in contact with some of those people because a lot of people hide.
Well, they're not spamming your mom in general chat. Like, and so you don't know that they're there.
Yeah, I wish it was your mom. Well, I wish that's what we got in general chat. I wish it was. And it's not even about needing something tame. It's just about, like, I hate chat pollution, you know. I hate stupidity, like, broadcast openly. And I hate, like...
So you don't ever go to the Barrens, do you?
No. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm not saying that the game is absolutely nothing but really bad people. It's just really... it's very, very difficult to figure out the people that you're going to get along with and the people you're going to be able to play with. And if you're going to spend any amount of time in an MMO, if you're going to do what they want you to do, which is participate in some kind of end game, you have to have a community of people. And it can be very difficult to figure out who that community of people should be when the ways in which you interact with other people almost always represents the worst element first. You know what I mean? Those are always the people you're going to spend more time interacting with. You know, the nice... You know, the lovely little night elf girl who runs by and throws you, you know, a rejuvenation and then disappears. Like, that's very nice. But, like, there you go. That's it.
That's
somebody,
all, yeah.
Somebody rezzed you. Somebody healed you. Somebody saved you from, you know, too much aggro. Like, and then you both go on about your business. And that's really very good. And everybody's nice and everything's fine. But there's nothing there. Because you just, you're very insular. You go on about your business. And most likely you're both very nice people. And good players, or at least nice players. But the people who, like, really stick in your craw, the people who, like, you know, are really, like, painted orange and have bright lights shining on them are the really terrible people. So, it's very bad. It's not like I even had a terribly hard time, you know, in the first day. I got two characters to 71, you know, like, which it's a really long slog. It's really long. It feels a lot longer than 60 to 61 did.
I think it should.
I mean, there are plenty of people. Like, by the time I was leaving, I think I queried a few 73s on my server. So, that's fine. That doesn't even matter at all. It's extremely pretty. I like the quest designs and everything. It actually feels... I don't know that I like the fact that they've divided up the starting zones into two separate zones, where you essentially choose, like, do I want to start in Howling Fjord or do I want to start in Borean Tundra? And then those two essentially funnel you, Horde or Alliance. They're not factions.
Okay.
It's like, you start where the hell you want to start.
I never liked that about Sea of Heroes when they said, here's the split. You know,
right, well, imagine
Galaxy
it.
City or,
yeah.
You know,
Atlas, well, now whatever. Imagine it being, like, it's kind of like that, but a much greater significance at this point, I think, because of where we are in the leveling game.
Yeah, because how far are you ahead of you?
Yeah. Well, and they did it as a response to, like, Hellfire Peninsula when they released Burning Crusade. It was like everybody in the game had to go to this one place.
They learned their yeah.
And it's like, well, it was bad for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was bad on launch day, yeah. And not even on all servers. So, yeah, you had a problem for a short period of time with, like, funneling everybody into this one thing. But I find it very strange that I can't believe that any problems that they had on launch day, within like maybe a week of launch day, funneling everyone into one zone, I can't imagine that's what made them create two separate starting zones for this. Because it's a limited time problem. It's not something that exists forever.
Yeah.
And it didn't even exist on launch day at midnight for all servers. My server was actually fine. The medium population server, it was perfectly fine. So I'm still kind of curious why they did it. They're both really fairly interesting places, you know, if you care for the lore. They're really well designed. and it's really, really nice. But
empty mailbox?
No, they started refunding items.
Oh, good.
Yesterday. But it actually, even on... what I think now is that with the zone split, I feel like you almost have to have a full realm in order for it to feel right, because...
It feels empty.
It's fucking huge. Howling Fjord is fucking huge.
I love that name.
And it's very complicated. There's a lot of, like, variation in texture and a hell of a lot of variation in, like, in elevation and distance and in expanse or like, constricted environment. Like, it's very complex and engaging, psychologically engaging and visually engaging thing. Fun to play in once you kind of get what the hell is going on.
I know how pretty they can make their landscape look.
No, it's great.
I need to come over and take a look at it. To think of a...
Why bother with that? Why not just build a computer and level yourself to 7 and go play it?
Because I'm not interested. I have no interest in playing the game. I really don't. I love to look. Yeah, I'll look at it.
That's about
it.
That's where I am with WoW now.
I'm like, okay. It's
yeah, it just... I don't know. All I know is that, like... It just doesn't seem... you know, I mean, they built it a lot like they built Hellfire Peninsula, which is... Here you go, there's a dungeon that you can go into straight away. Like, you can go do this dungeon, and there's all these quests, you can do this thing, and then we'll move on somewhere else. But there's just not quite as many people as I would like. I like it when it's full of people. As long as the respawn math is working properly, and, like, you know, the counter's got mobs popping back up when they're killed. It's a little dicey, because you'll have things, like, popping up, you know... right up your asshole sometimes if you're not careful, and it's like, really, holy shit, I gotta be paying attention. But, like, it feels more like, in terms of population, more like I'd expect it to feel, you know, weeks from now. So these starting areas, granted, beyond that point, everything gets kind of pushed together a little bit and it'll feel different. But at the moment, it's like, like, I think on my server, for whatever reason, Borean Tundra, which was the other zone, is, like, really populated, and Howling Fjord wasn't.
Huh.
That was just what I gathered, you know, again, just looking at what was going on in the zone. So, it was always fun, but it certainly wasn't, like, as freakish and kinetic and strange. And I was just rushing to get to 71 today. I'm not a fast leveler at all.
I was going to say, pretty soon we should be hearing about that guy who hit 80.
Yeah, it's tough to say. There were already today reports of a 70 death knight. I mean, whatever, you know. And then I'm probably, in the next 2 days, you'll see somebody who hit 80.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. It's hard to tell.
What's about on pace?
Yeah, well,
same,
you know,
as BC.
It'll be someone who was a beta player.
Yep.
And is surrounded by beta players. And all they did was...
Fast track
their way through. So,
right.
I mean, that's perfectly fine. It has no impact on anything whatsoever, ever, and it's great. But I like it artistically. I like the quests a lot. I hope I continue to like it. I really hope that as a stopping point, as a place where we will spend 2 years, I hope it's more interesting to me than Burning Crusade was. I just never quite gelled with what they were doing. As much as I loved their game.
Yeah.
Well, and the problem was that, like, my occupation at the time, for the better part of a decade, meant that I couldn't participate in the kind of things that...
I know you don't forget that, but yeah, that slips my mind every now and again. Is that...
Well, I like raiding. That's right. I like MMOs. It isn't just World of Warcraft. I like MMOs. I like the large-scale social stuff that people do together in an MMO. It's fun. Like,
you play Conan.
I'm not real hardcore about it, but it is fun. Yeah. The problem is you do have to have a very specific kind of schedule to be able to do those things. So I was forced to be a kind of player that I didn't want to be. This time I've got a different option. I would like to try that, you know, try doing some other stuff. So it's good. It's a big deal. Somehow, it doesn't feel like as big a deal as Burning Crusade. Even though the population is much bigger now than it was before. Like, there's much more at stake. It's not the first expansion. We've done this before.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, here I am again at midnight picking up an expansion for this game. Obviously, we've moved into that place now, you know.
Well, I had a friend of mine call me today, and we were just talking about it and whatever, and we were talking about... I was sorry, I asked him about his experience, And I was like, so this is the guy that said, you know, well, let me play Shaman if I want to check it out. So I was like, so what do you think, man? He's like, I don't know. It may have made me quit WoW.
Yeah.
He's like, because I installed it, and I'm like, all right. And I got really excited, and then I logged in, and I'm doing the, like, really, I'm doing the exact same thing that I've been doing for, like, years.
Yeah.
He's like, and all of a sudden it hit me that I've been doing the exact same thing for years.
Yeah.
He's like, and I don't know what I thought was this was going to be. You know, it's like, what did I think that they were going to do? Like, it obviously wasn't a new game. It was the same thing I've been playing. But he's like, I don't know, man. I just
had the same feeling when I played City of Villains and got to, like, level 30.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well,
he was just like,
and this is what I find funny, because guys who make these games and sell them have never, ever once advertised it as
a new game.
Come play this game. It's totally unlike, you know, like, this expansion. It's all different.
Exactly. You know, and that's kind of like,
that's not how they actually advertise it, by being like, it's like this other game. You know, it's like this. Well, it's more like what we did here. So,
you know, and that's kind of like what he was saying. Was like, you know, it's not like it should be any different. It's an expansion to a game. Like, it should be
more of the same, essentially.
He's like, but I don't know. I just had this anticipation. Like, well, I'll hang on because, you know, once the expansion comes out, well, that'll be, you know, like, I'm bored now, but when the expansion comes out, and now it's like, well,
it all kind of changes, though.
Really,
because
much.
Everybody has to. Everybody's in the same place before an expansion comes out. Like, everybody is pretty much in the same place. Expansion comes out, you're all back to leveling again. Some people love that, some people hate it. I hate it. I like the process, I like the quests, I like the growth, but I hate the fact that the things I really want to do,
you can't do,
are down there somewhere. You know, they're
right,
7 levels away, 6 levels away, 5 levels away. And I push to that because the things I want to do are there. You know? Like, I really want to run Utgard Keep, which is like the level 70, you know, 68 to like 71
dungeon.
Like, for, you come right into Howling Fjord, get a couple quests, go into Utgard Keep the same way you did with Hellfire Ramparts. I like that. I think that's really great. But the problem is, it's like, well, group matching systems being what they are, I'm going to kind of have to sit around for a while until I find a group and then run it, and that'll be great and everything. So I'm just going to keep questing. Shit, nobody's looking for a group. Nobody in my guild is wanting to run a group right now and run in the dungeon. Well, I'm just going to move on to the next zone, you know? And it's like, really, I'll just push and go and go and go. I still want to see all the content, because that's all I care about. Neat dungeons, neat encounters, because that's where it's different. Everything you do in the overworld, it's all the same shit. You will always, in any MMO, like, you're going to be doing the same questing, the same grinding, the same leveling. Sometimes it's prettier and more interesting, like in World of Warcraft, than, say, City of Heroes. But, like, in terms of lore or story or anything like that. In my opinion,
when it boils down to it, you're doing the same shit.
In my opinion, though, that's not what it's about. That's not what MMOs are about. Because the way that instancing and raiding and grouping and everything works, I think that's really where they've put the majority of their... That's where the brain trust really spends its time, figuring out those encounters. Like, they're all puzzles. They're all these very... They're all puzzles with varying degrees of complexity, you know? And it's up to you to figure out how to do it and how to make it work with the people you have around you. That's extremely fascinating to me. Like, it's very, very, very cool to me, and I like that a lot. But it's a different game entirely from this other stuff out here, so... I just like to rush through the leveling. I hate it. I like what's going on. I like the exploration and stuff, but I just hate that I'm not... I like being at the max level and being like, okay, now I don't have to fucking level up anymore.
I don't have to go kill 40 of Monster X anymore.
I mean, now I get to go grind dailies, but that's fine because it gives me money to get this other thing and build this cool shit. It's all weird. It's what flavor of the Kool-Aid do I choose to drink?
Right.
That's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
And the leveling flavor is not my particular variety. I choose to grind endlessly and mindlessly in other ways. But I have to grind through the leveling.
I'm one of those people that will grind them. I'll grind the hell out of crafting. Like, I mean, obviously, being who I am.
That's fun.
Being who I am, man, like, I'll grind the hell out of crafting. Like, I don't mind. I don't think it's boring at all. I'll spend hours doing it.
Yeah.
But the moment that I gotta go stand in, like, a fucking, you know, 100 yard by 100 yard square and kill the same damn thing over and over again. Like, I'm like, God, this sucks. And somebody will be like, you just sat in front of a forge for 4 hours.
Yeah,
like,
no.
But I was doing things then, yeah. And, you know, and it really is. It's really I would never, about preference.
Yeah, I try not to belittle anybody's particular approach to how they want to play an MMO.
If you're having fun, then keep doing that.
Exactly.
That's kind of my opinion.
It's just a question of how certain... I think some of the luckiest people in the world are people who enjoy
the leveling
game in an MMO. Because that's the first door. That's the first door, no matter what else you want to do. You want to do high-level crafting, high-level instances, high-level raids, high-level PvP.
Anything like that.
You first must step through the leveling door. And if you don't like it, tough shit.
Yeah.
That's what you have
and here's
to do.
If you do like it, and if you get to the end game and that's not your thing, you can make a new character and do it all again. Or go to a different game and do it all again. Because that's what every game is.
It was one of the reasons I always sort of kind of drifted back to EVE Online. Because, EVE has a lot of its own problems. But it's a really great example of it's the best possible scenario for an MMO that has very different MMO problems. Because that level grind doesn't necessarily exist in the same way.
Right.
You're never going to catch up to the guys who are already playing. It's possible. Because all skill training is based on real time.
Right.
But, unlike in something like WoW, you go spend a couple weeks playing EVE with the right guidance, and you can be doing stuff with those guys that have been playing for 5-6 years. Because of how the whole structure is built. I mean, you know, you're not going to go kick their ass or anything. But but in their version of a raid, in a large fleet action, there's stuff you can do. And it's like, so that relationship is a little more flexible and it's a little more different. It's all weird. And reminds me, of course, now that there's all that shit floating around out there about EVE-based FPS.
Yeah.
Possible showing on consoles.
Yes, I
remember. That's a little strange. It's a little strange.
I don't know. I was like, where do you put the spreadsheet?
Yeah, I know.
Motherfuckers, I know what you do, and this is not what you do.
Yeah.
I'm very confused.
I'm very interested to see what's really at the bottom of the rumor.
I am.
I like what they do. I like kind of like the thing.
I mean, it's not for me, but I really appreciate what they do.
Yeah, I don't know.
They build around the mechanics that as much as I don't like the mechanics that you know they employ. They build a really solid game around those.
Yeah, sure.
And man, if you like that kind of thing, they got a really really solid piece of software.
Well, we'll see what their attack plan is. I mean, I think it's a little. I'd be surprised if we saw anything on the current set of consoles, if they're just now starting to work on something, but I'd be interested to see what they could do. And because it's tied to this whole concept of maybe an FPS or something else that we aren't quite sure of, so
yeah,
it's really hard to figure out what the hell those rumors actually meant. So
it is rumor,
at all. But yeah, I don't know. Just kind of going all the way back, I have a totally different reaction to WoW right now. It's not the same feeling at all that it had before. And we'll see what they do. I just think for me,
those things you check back in down the road and be like, yeah.
And everybody's got to figure out their own way of dealing with it. But I think one of the reasons that I'm still playing is because for anybody who loved the Warcraft series, this is the story we've been waiting to have finished since Warcraft 3, since the Frozen Throne. All of Warcraft has been a kind of a sidestep, you know? Arthas and the Betrayal and Northrend and all that stuff happened in Warcraft 3. That was all Warcraft 3. That was 10 years ago. And then, then we get World of Warcraft, and it's we're going to talk about this stuff over here, and now we're going to fucking Outland for some goddamn reason, because we've got to deal with Illidan and whatever. Can we just go kill Arthas? Because, really, a lot of our love for their franchise is based on the original parts of their franchise.
Yeah. So the original direction they were headed with the story and all.
Any of us who cared at all have really kind of been holding our breath for a long time. It's like, okay, let's finish the story that was never really finished before in the real time strategy games. So we'll see.
Where are they going to go from there?
Anywhere they want.
Probably they'll do another expansion. They'll do another expansion. But by that time, I think the next thing will be more important. And I'm not really sure what that is. Doesn't really matter.
You know, I'd say that, you know, once we get to a certain point in here, I'd love to see another Warcraft strategy game. Like, not WoW. Like, I would love to see another Warcraft 4.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to call it, you know.
Man, if you look at the way that they... If you look at the way they work on very long timetables with their products. They've only got a few.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you see what they're doing now. You see what they're doing. They've got World of Warcraft, Warcraft, whichever one you want to call it. Yeah. And we don't know if there's a difference anymore.
Well, and... Or they have their current Warcraft line product. Yeah.
They've got Diablo, they've got StarCraft. And it's like, okay, well, they've got the three things. But even with those three things, there's like, well, we've got expansion cycles, and then whatever this weird shit is we're doing with StarCraft, which is kind of an expansion thing, kind of a new business model.
And then, like, the rumors of Ghosts coming back.
Yeah, like, it's very weird. So, really, when you look at it, they don't look to me like they need much more.
No, they don't. But, like, the way that they pulled Diablo 3 and StarCraft 2, like, they were like, oh, by the way, here's this stuff. Like, I wouldn't be too surprised if a couple years from now they're like, oh, yeah, Warcraft 4, it's, like, right here.
Yeah, they're funny.
Like, by the way, you know, this is what we got so far, if you want to look at it. Like, we've been working on this for years. You know?
Yeah,
that's
really...
That's not something that would... Anymore that would really shock me from that developer. I'd just be like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I just,
they do their own thing and whatever. Keep it
I
up.
Don't know, but I will tell you, I think that Lich King may be something that not drives a lot of people out of the game, but convinces people that they're just not as interested in it as they thought they did.
That maybe after playing the same game for, you know, 3 years, it's about time.
That
to
it's
move
like
to something
if
else.
You were waiting on an expansion to fix the game and make it something that you wanted to play, yeah, the things you were looking for weren't really there to begin with.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
So, I don't even know what the hell that means. Doesn't mean anything. It means I'm level 71, and I gotta get my port to Dalaran tonight. That's all I really care. That's the only reason I want to get 71 with my mage, or so I go fucking Dalaran, because that's what mages do.
They go to Dalaran.
We've had the city hiding in a pink bubble for the last 4 years, and it's been very frustrating.
So, and you want
to
go.
And it's time to go to Dalaran. So
I hear they've got great popcorn. I just made that up.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
They fucking conjure that shit. That's what mages do.
That's great.
All right, we want to jump into the mailbag?
This part where Dana has to get up and walk over to a microphone.
It's amazing.
Heaven forbid we...
Four microphones in here.
None for me.
I know. We'll have to go grab that extra one. I don't know where to plug it in.
So, Calgar...
Take me away. No.
I totally didn't say that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like weird that it was in your head or anything. It was just weird that you decided to say it.
Yeah. Calgar would like to know what we think about publishers banning rentals in Belgium. He was reading that the Belgian government restricted game rentals by enforcing that rental outlets needed publisher permission to rent out games.
Yeah, that was a story a few weeks back,
And so it's not really feasible for anyone to run a game rental business in Belgium anymore.
Right.
Can you perhaps see in the next generation of console games coming serial codes preventing secondhand sales?
I can, man, I'm expecting, like, all sorts of crazy shit to happen to prevent secondary sales. Like, they hate that shit. That's
absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
they've killed secondhand sales in the PC market. They killed it a long time ago. They would love to kill it on the console.
Yeah, they would. Like, that's...
they see that as...
Out
they
sell
that,
ways,
they see like, that as lost sales, just like they see piracy as lost sales.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I would expect, I guess, just about anything from them. I really feel like they're just not happy about that shit at all. They're not happy about rent. And what are you going to do? Like, if they say, you can't rent our game. I mean, I'm assuming that's legal.
Well, then I end up playing less games is what it means.
Yeah, I mean, that may sound dumb, but I'm not sure if that is an unfair practice in an American sense. Like, according to how American business law works, I have no idea.
I don't know either. I'm no lawyer.
If somebody could say, like, you can't rent my games anymore, it's like, well, that doesn't necessarily work considering how, like, the publishing works. All these things. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that it is true. And somebody could just be like, you can't rent my games anymore. Like, well, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are your games.
Yeah, like, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah. B,
that's fine. However,
I'm still probably not going to buy your game.
Like, yeah. Not unless it's really, really, really good.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they wouldn't try it. I would totally expect them to try it. And I had never thought about that, about like them, about a publisher just saying, you can't rent my games. I'm surprised that that hasn't...
It has been tried here.
Has it really?
Yes, a long time ago, back in the 80s.
I have...
I can't remember who the premier movie rental places were, but when they first started renting Nintendo cartridges, that was a really big deal. Hmm. And I think it also became a deal. Somebody was renting PC titles as well.
Oh, okay.
And it went to court, and they're like, no, you can't do anything about it. Same thing with movies. You know, they tried to keep that out.
I called a rental place last night on the way home to see if they were going to get Call of Duty World at War.
Mm-hmm.
They said, oh, we're not getting that. I said, so you're just outright not getting it? It's like, yeah, Activision has this thing, and they're mad at us. They're not sending us the game.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's... I mean, that could be exactly what this is. They could be that they don't want the rentals happening, or that could very well be they're literally... I mean, they're mad at that
chain. Well, but,
well, that okay, chain but for another
either way,
reason.
Either way, if they can say, we don't give you this, whether if that's okay for them to do... then that's sort of proof of the idea that they don't have to let people buy and rent their games.
But that does.
But it makes you wonder if they could, if that rental place could come through and get something from somebody else and
yes,
then rent it out.
They can. A lot of them do go through other wholesalers and don't get them directly from the publisher.
Right.
And there was an instance where there's some company has some sort of kiosk where you rent movies from a kiosk. This is out in California, and. The movie studios didn't like it at all, and this has just been this past year, and they were threatening to cut off the wholesaler they were buying the movies from, and the kiosk people sued the movie studios to prevent them from doing that. That hasn't, you know, gone to trial yet or anything, but they were going to cut off the wholesaler to spite the renter, which
right.
I thought was very interesting.
And as an aside, why is renting from a kiosk different than a store?
I couldn't tell you that,
okay,
man.
Just curious, because I didn't know if there was...
That's, they've got a reason, but they didn't tell me.
I didn't know if there was logic there or if it was crazy.
I think it's very strange. I totally expect something to happen. I mean, piracy not being a very big issue on the consoles, but the secondary market being, for some people, what it's all about. Like, maybe they're upset about that. And
the secondary market is something I would see them trying to focus on before rentals. Though, how do you differentiate between the two is interesting to me. But, like, I think some games would just not see very much time in a tray if they weren't, if you couldn't rent them.
Yeah.
You know, there's some games, and not just me personally, just, like, as a whole, like, if you don't have those people that are, you know, renting these things out, buying the game, you're not going to have any people buying the game, period. You know, it's just the way that's going to go.
I don't know why. It's totally irrational, but, like, in my mind, one of my automatic responses is I'm more inclined to think that. And I don't know why. I need to actually think about this on my own time and try to figure out why my brain wants to say this, but I'm somewhat more inclined to believe that a publisher should have a piece of the rental pie than they should have of the secondary market pie. You know what I mean? Like, and that's just a total knee-jerk reaction. Like, just the thought crossed my head, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not so bad. I mean, maybe it has something to do with the fact that, you know... no one end user already owns it, you know? Like that whole contract between, I'm the guy who sells the game, you're the guy that buys the game, now you buy the game, so you have the license to the game, and this is your game, and that's yours,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's
true. And then
whereas,
what you choose to do with it from there on out is your own business. Whereas with the rental, it's like the thing was purchased from the get-go.
Yeah.
With the intent of, like, you know,
I think what
turning it into multiple... rentals. So
what could work out really well is if, you know, if you want to give the publisher a slice of the rental pie, like, don't make the rental business pay the quote-unquote full price, the wholesale price. Obviously, you would want to give them some monetary benefit from doing it that way. But I don't necessarily.
I don't know that there's anything remotely realistic and all of that. It's just.
I don't know if it's good or bad either yet.
I have no idea.
I'm just trying to think about the actual process
and
of that.
What we can say is that it is what it is. Right now, there are people who make an enormous amount of money on the secondary market for games. Right now, there are people who make a lot of money on the rental of games. Right now, there are people who make a lot of money on the sales of games. And to some degree, those people are at odds. Publishers with secondary market retailers and you know, off on another side, the rental guys. I just know, the only thing that bothers me about it, I mean, I certainly don't know what else is going to go on, but what really bothers me is that everybody's going to do whatever they can to protect their own interests. And right in the middle of all three of those things are the guys who really like to play great games, which right. is everybody.
I'm afraid we're going to get screwed.
But can't afford to.
Well, whatever, whether they can afford it or not. Because, damn it, I've bought a lot of fucking PC games. I could afford to. And just because I was able to afford to do it and didn't ever pirate doesn't right. mean I wasn't fucked by piracy or the specter of piracy or whatever the hell has led people to blame everything on piracy or secondary sales, any of these things. Whether or not I participated doesn't prevent me from being affected by what other people do in reaction to it. So I kind of wish the whole thing was sort of figured out a little bit better. But obviously it isn't. So
there you have
there
it.
There you go. That's an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we should shut up.
We really
should shut up. Well,
the end of the week. You know.
See everybody on Monday.
Yeah, we'll see everybody.
You want to email us, everyone at ingamechat.net, and don't forget the forums.
Yes, you can visit us at colonygamers.com.
We'll see you on Monday.